free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, March 31st, 2014. And we're joined once again by David Stockman, formerly of the Office of Management and Budget under Ronald Reagan. Very glad to welcome him back to the program, although I do have to tell you guys about an unfortunate aspect of all this. We don't have David for as long as I'd hoped. To make a long story short, you guys know we had a baby about 2.5 weeks ago. Daughter number 5 entered the world, and my wife had to deliver via C-section, and so she's still recovering from that. And so I drive her around until she's fully recovered, and that's fine. I'm perfectly happy to do that. It's not a problem. But it meant I had to push David back about a half an hour, and I don't want to have to reschedule with David Stockman, but these things happen. He's a nice guy, and he understood. But I didn't realize until we spoke that that meant he'd only have 15 minutes with us today. So that's too bad, but that's what happened last Friday when I recorded this conversation with David Stockman. But that just means we're going to have him on again soon for a full program on the subject of the Fed and war, where he's done some very interesting work. It's not just the same old story that you've heard on this subject. As usual, he's got an original spin on it. And so we're going to definitely have him on to talk about that. But for today, we're going to have more of a potpourri kind of show where we talk about some topics that are featured on David's brand new blog, which I strongly urge you to read. It's davidstockmanscontracorner.com. That's quite a bit to type in, but once you type it in the first time and you bookmark it or you put it in your RSS reader, you never have to type it in again. David Stockman was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1976, and he served in that position until 1981 when he resigned to accept the appointment as the director of the Office of Management and Budget under Ronald Reagan, where he served until 1985. He spent some time on Wall Street and eventually started his own private equity fund company, Heartland Industrial Partners, based in Greenwich, Connecticut. The site is davidstockmanscontracorner.com. The recent book that I urge you to read is The Great Deformation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America. And now I will move seamlessly into my conversation with David Stockman by saying, David Stockman, welcome back to the program.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you, Tom.
I am so glad that you have entered the blogging world, because David Stockman's Contra Corner, which I told people about in the intro, we're linking to it on the show, is already indispensable, and it's just barely gotten started. And when I invited you to come on to have this brief chat today, initially I thought, let's talk entirely about your great presentation on the relationship between the Fed and war, and then you sent a couple of blog posts you'd done, then I want to talk about the blog post. So I'm going to try to do a quick potpourri episode. And the upshot of this is, if you want more, then go to David's blog, which we're linking to on the site. So before we get into the war issue, one of the columns you sent me that had something to do with Mitt Romney, who, oddly enough, a few weeks ago they did a poll and found that he was actually leading all possible GOP contenders for 2016. He doesn't even want to run. They have learned nothing. But what I found interesting was your observation was exactly the same as mine, which was that here we are faced with the aftermath of a bubble that has the Fed's fingerprints all over it, and all the GOP could think to do is repeat talking points from 1983.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And the reason that I posted that blog is that in my book, I had a chapter called Willard M. Romney and the Truman Show of Bubble Finance. And, of course, everyone remembers the Truman Show and Jim Carrey and the fact that he was in a artificial world didn't realize until the end what was happening. I believe that much of the Republican Party and the mainstream leadership like Romney, has been exactly in that kind of bubble. We got to this disaster we're in because we have been allowing the Fed to basically take over and run the entire U.S. GDP, to peg, manipulate, medicate, and, manhandle the entire financial system. There's not an honest interest rate left from the overnight market to the 30-year bond. There are all these constant bailouts and puts and, safety nets under the market, which create huge distortion because you need two-way markets and you need the ability to succeed and fail and to be responsible for bad bets and investment. All of that is missing. And so we have the Fed furiously printing money, still at a $55 billion a month rate, which is crazy, given that we're in the fifth year of a so-called recovery. That is not helping the Main Street economy one bit, because the Main Street economy of households and businesses has way too much debt already, and we can go into some of those numbers. Essentially, it gives free overnight money to the carry trades to speculate in anything that might have a yield more than zero or might have some appreciation. So what we've done is we've ruined the heart of capitalism, which is honest financial markets. We've turned it into a gambling casino, and we have sort of left the nation bereft of any leadership from the so-called conservative party that could possibly stop this. And I take Romney, to finish this off, as a perfect example of the problem, because his number one economic advisor during the 2012 campaign was none other than the chairman of the business school at Columbia, who opined that Bernanke had done a great job and deserved consideration for reappointment. Now, if the Conservative Party is getting that kind of advice, if the Conservative Party is being told, put an out-and-out crazy Keynesian money printer back into the Fed, then I think we've got some gigantic problems in this country. And it's one of the reasons why I've gotten very active with this blog called David Stockman's Contra Corner, where I'm trying to post not only my own thoughts, but the thoughts of a lot of other people who can see the lunacy of all this and want to provide good analysis and insights on a day-to-day basis.
Now, of course, because so much of the constituency, the natural constituency of the GOP, and I don't mean people in Iowa who want to ban abortion, I'm talking about the natural constituency being the 1%, and by the way, they're the constituency of both parties, but in particular, the Republicans are more openly catering to them half the time. And in that case, it's no surprise that they're going to give us a diagnosis that has nothing to do with the Fed. Romney's whole career involves windfalls that came to him by means of the crazy economy to which the Fed gave rise. Now, if the right is going to have these half Keynesian, three-quarter Keynesian economists, and then the left has the full-blown Keynesian economists, and that's our choice, well, we're going to have to deal with the consequences, which are, you have a recent column here, Paul Krugman just coming out saying, look, if you accept the Keynesian logic, which basically, implicitly, everybody does, Romney himself said that if Ron Paul got his way getting rid of $1 trillion of spending, this would hurt the economy and lead us into a depression. If he's going to accept that, then he's got to accept the Keynesian medicine, the Keynesian full-throttle logic coming from Krugman, which you critiqued in a column just the other day on your site, in which Krugman is saying we've got to get rid of this austerity that we've been up to, and we've got to turn it around and really get fiscal and monetary growth going again. How do you respond to something like that?
It's almost impossible to respond except to recognize that maybe we're in the final intellectual death throes of the Keynesian case. When you get to the point where Krugman is saying we need 4% inflation, when there's not an iota evidence anywhere that inflation at a 4% rate is going to help anything except undermine the living standard of people on fixed incomes or people who can't get wage increases to keep up, I think you've reached a point where the whole crude mythology of Keynesianism is being exposed. And so that's why I took that on. But the point, larger point I want to make is that bubble finance is insidious because after a period of time, it corrupts and co-opts the natural opposition. And let me say it this way. In my book, I go back all the way to 1914 and survey the 100 years of how we got into this gigantic mess that we're in today. But one of the points I make is that in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, there was still a understanding of sound monetary policy, of fiscal rectitude, and of what free markets really required. And there was leadership who came to power in the Republican Party that implemented those principles. One of the heroes in my book is George Humphreys, who was Secretary of the Treasury for Eisenhower. He was a great businessman, ran one of the big mining companies out of the Midwest. He insisted on balancing the budget, shrinking the government, non-inflationary finance, keeping the dollar as good as gold, and all the rest of it. Then I use as another case Bill Simon, who was a ferocious opponent of crony capitalism and bailouts during the Ford administration in the mid-70s. My point is that today, when a Republican administration comes to power, they get a guy from Columbia University who's been basically consulting and shilling for the savings and loan industry and that whole mess. And they appoint people like Paulson, Hank Paulson, who was Secretary of the Treasury and came right out of the casino on Wall Street that had been created by bubble finance under Greenspan and Bernanke for so many years. And so, therefore, there's no intellectual integrity left. The understanding of sound money, fiscal rectitude, and free markets has been lost. The leadership from the financial community and even corporate America is now all about doing what it takes by the day, week, and quarter to keep the bubble going. And so, therefore, we're badly misgoverned because there is no opposition left that has a credible, intellectual foundation for what it's doing in either party. We have two free lunch parties. They compete for who can put the biggest money printers on the Fed and who can do the most so-called stimulate the economy through tax credits and gimmicks or spending increases as advocated by the White House. But all of that is just, taking us deeper into the soup. And unfortunately, that's the big breakdown today. It's not simply capitalism, but it's also democracy. Because we are now in a regime of crony capitalism where both sides are piling on using the tools of the state, the budget, and the central bank to accomplish ends that would not be remotely reasonable or feasible or likely in an honest free market.
Now, David, I know you had only a brief amount of time with us and that you have to run. I hope I can ask a tiny, tiny question, even though it's a huge question, but I'll get you to give me a 30-second response, and then I got to have you on to talk about this Fed and war issue because my listeners will really eat that up. But when I was looking at your piece on this subject, I was reminded of how different our analysis of the Great Depression is from that of so many other so-called right-wing economists who really don't see any problem with the economy in the 20s or before. They think the problem came when there was a stock market crash and the president helped to raise tariffs and the Fed didn't do enough to save failing banks. And that's their analysis. But your analysis is completely different from that.
Yeah, I believe that the Great Depression was merely a delayed hangover from the insanity of the Great War of 1914 to 1918. It was that war, and it was unprecedented scale, and the monumental carnage that caused the bankruptcy of the entire world international order. It caused the destruction of the pre-war, international gold standard that worked and left the whole world, other than the United States, massively in debt from printing money during the war and from issuing government debt. The debt of England, for instance, went up 15 times during the war. So what the 20s was about was an effort to dig out from under the disaster, financial disaster of World War One, recreate some semblance of the gold standard system of liberal international economics and trade and capital flows that worked. But unfortunately, they didn't get there. They had a lot of jerry-built attempts, and there was, some decent motivation. But at the end of the day, the world had a mini-boom because the Fed in the United States in the 1920s massively fueled the growth in Wall Street of a foreign bond market that allowed everybody from Brazil to Hamburg, to the municipality of Hamburg, to borrow hand over fist, use the proceeds that they raised on Wall Street to buy goods and services from the U.S. economy. We had an export boom. Everything got dramatically bloated and inflated. And when the market crashed finally in 1929, the foreign bond market died, the export market died, the U.S. economy was vastly overbuilt, overcapacitated. It went through a huge liquidation, and that was the cause of the Great War. It was not an inherent failure of capitalism. It didn't help, of course, that Hoover signed Smoot-Hawley. That wasn't a good thing.
Right.
But it certainly wasn't that what Friedman said and Bernanke after him, that the Fed didn't print enough money and buy bonds hand over fist in 1930 to 1932. That isn't the cause at all. And so therefore, here's the deal. That was a one-time historical tragedy that came out of a series of events from 1914 to 1929 that have nothing to do with the modern world, nothing to do with the idea that Keynesian fiscal stimulus and money printing at the central bank is the only way to solve the inherent depression prone propensities of a capitalist economy. None of that's true. That's the great urban legend that came out of the 30s. And we're still struggling with it every day. The Republicans are totally buffaloed. They don't know why the 1930s happened. When Bernanke came running around Washington in September 2008 and said Great Depression 2.0 is around the corner, half of the Republicans believed him, including the clueless guy sitting in the White House and his Wall Street Secretary of the Treasury. And as a result of that, we have basically followed really bad policies based on fighting a war, so to speak, an economic war from the 1930s that is both misdirected and aimed at circumstances that never even existed.
David, I know you have to run. I'm sorry about the time thing. We've got to have you back on to talk about this other issue, this fantastic presentation you gave on the Fed and war, because as I say, my listeners will eat that up. I want to generate as much traffic for your blog as I can because it's hard to get people to change their internet viewing habits. People have five or ten places they go to. I want people to realize that this is worth changing your habits for. David Stockman's ContraCorner.com has got to be visited. Thanks for your time today. We'll get you back soon, I hope.
We'll certainly do that, Tom, and great to talk to you.
Thanks again. All right, everybody, that's David Stockman, David Stockman's ContraCorner.com. Don't forget The Great Deformation, which is such a great book of revisionist economic history of the 20th century, a revisionist view of what happened in 2008, why the bailouts were unnecessary and harmful. I mean, it's unbelievable how good this book is. And if you say to me, Woods, it's such a big book, you won't even notice that. It's so enjoyable and informative. Now, before I let you go, a couple things. I had a great little social media story the other night. We apparently, while I was out, we lost the power for a few minutes. And when it came back on, it didn't come on in our garage. Well, in our garage, we have a big freezer with a lot of food in it. We have an extra refrigerator out there, so we do want the electricity running. And, of course, the garage door opener, which is also an important part of the garage. And I could not figure out what the problem was. I opened the breaker panel, and I didn't see anything wrong. I fiddled with it a little bit, and nothing was happening. So what did I do? I said, well, I got 57,000 likes on Facebook. Maybe one of those people's an electrician. If the Facebook algorithm will allow my post to get out to those people's walls, maybe we'll see, or to those people's news feeds, we'll see if anybody can help. So sure enough, I get all these offers of help, and people are all saying, you know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a reset switch on one of your outlets. Press that switch and see what happens. So I went out in the garage, and I didn't think I'd ever seen a reset switch on any of those, and sure enough, I see two outlets, neither one has a reset switch. But people are insisting, there's got to be one, man. So I'm looking and looking, and I thought, wait a minute, behind the refrigerator. I don't spend a lot of time behind the refrigerator. And sure enough, if you go behind the refrigerator, you find an outlet with a reset switch on it. So I pressed it. I can hear the refrigerator coming back on. So this is entirely, this is unbelievable. I was all set. I was going to turn Skype on, and I was going to show the person the breaker panel and whatever, try and do this. And that would have been a miracle. Well, I didn't even have to go to that length, because I had knowledgeable and helpful people right there on my Facebook page. The problem was solved in 10 minutes. I mean, to me, that's a miracle. And one thing that makes me a little sad is that my kids live in a world in which that won't seem miraculous to anybody. That'll just seem normal and everyday. And I mean, in a way, that's great. That means that things are advancing. Like every time I flush the toilet, I don't say to myself, oh my gosh, miracle of miracles, I have a flush toilet. Of course, 100 years ago, or you know, 150 years ago, that would have been pretty impressive for a lot of people. So I suppose it is in advance that they don't look at this and say, ah, wonder of wonders, Skype or Facebook solved your problem. But I do try to instill in them a sense of wonder and appreciation when faced with phenomena like this, because to me, that really is something great. That really is something special. Let me remind you guys where I'm going to be April 9th. You're probably tired of hearing this, but people are listening to the program anew all the time. April 9th, I'm going to be at Florida Southern College. April 10th, Liberty University. April 26th, I'll be at the University of Wisconsin at Madison. I'll be posting information on that when I get it. And then May 9th in Provo, Utah, I'm going to try to work out an event in the Boston area for late May or early June. And finally, we're trying to work on an event in Des Moines, Iowa for sometime in June. So you get details on those events on my personal site, tomwoods.com. The event page there is tomwoods.com/events. I will be posting the details about that April 26th event as soon as I get them. Finally, remember, you are helping us pay the bills here on The Tom Woods Show. Every time you enter Amazon via the widget at tomwoodsradio.com. Doesn't cost you a thing, but it helps me keep the lights on in my little Tom Woods Show office. So when you're about to make that Amazon purchase, and there's that little voice in your head, right? That voice is telling you, help out Tom Woods. That's a great way to do that. This week, we got some great programming coming up. We got Anna Martin, who is otherwise known as the Libertarian Homeschooler. We've got Gary Chartier coming back to the program. We're going to talk about his new book on John Rawls. John Rawls has screwed up so many minds, and Gary is going to make sense of it all from a libertarian perspective, so that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to have Tom DiLorenzo talking about Alexander Hamilton this week and more. So stay tuned for these programs. Make sure you are a subscriber on iTunes or Stitcher. Go to the main page at tomwoodsradio.com, and you will see easy subscription links on iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.